What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of The Bullpen. Today, I got two special guests for you guys. A little more special for me than you guys because this is actually family on the podcast today, right? And I was just joking with them a little bit. Like, I don't know anything about these guys. No. So let me just give you guys an idea, just a little idea of who we're about to hear from today, okay? These two, me and my wife talk because this is my wife's sister and brother-in-law. Okay, I'm not going to tell you names yet, right? But ever since I've known these two, they have been entrepreneurs galore. And I mean like traveling all over the world, doing shit that I never would want to do, but they're putting in the work to do it, right? Literally, you know, like everything they seem to launch just seems to just have this beautiful, magical touch that everyone wants to order. And they've got this new thing that we're going to talk about that I'm about to order like five of them, right? Well, actually, no. I'm getting them for free. No, just kidding. I'm ordering that shit, guys. Friends and family, by the way, don't get shit for free. Order that shit, okay? Anyways, no more introduction. Aubrey and Ryan Nino. Thanks for coming on The Bullpen, guys.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. So this is a unique one because I've only done a couple family members on the podcast, right? But this is actually pretty cool because it's not just like, oh, we're going to have a conversation about family, right? Let's talk about, you know, how to have, you know, like we could talk about family or whatever, but.
Tell me about your feelings.
Yeah. None of that shit, right? No. We're diving deep into what you guys got going on. But before we get into that, I didn't want to go into too much detail because when I describe an entrepreneur, you guys immediately come to mind, right? Aww. Because it's not just you and what you've done, Ryan. Aubrey, what you're doing. You guys both always have some venture that you're launching. I'm like, what the fuck?
What are you doing again? What?
Yeah. And that's one of the hardest questions to answer as an entrepreneur is like, what do you do?
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Yeah. I sell stuff.
You know, our neighbor, like we just moved into a new place recently.
Right.
And the first question they always ask is, oh, so what do you do? And no joke, we've had to now be like, let's just simplify it.
Yeah.
Because it's like we like to have our hands in a few different things. But
consulting.
Yeah.
At that point.
I'm a consultant. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we work for a company. We just leave it at that.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah. We've worked for a company. Right. All right. Well, let's get down to nitty gritty. What's your guys' story? How'd you guys get to this point? Because I'm not going to tell everybody exactly what's about to go down yet. Let's kind of let them, you know, wait till we hear that big news, right? But what got you here to this point? What's your guys' story?
Well, I would say Aubrey and I, we've been married 9 years now.
Mm.
So this next month we'll be married 9 years.
Mm.
And immediately after we got married, we started working together in a work environment, which was definitely a little bit of an adjustment.
It was a big adjustment.
Yeah. But you know, it helped. Like we look at where we're at today and the years of us working together, it really has helped our marriage, number one, but also has helped us work together.
Yeah.
Because we've, you know, ironed through all those wrinkles.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot about learning what we are each good at individually and then how we can each complement each other.
Because
at first it was like, well, you know, he's very detail oriented where I'm just like, let's just get it done and move forward. Let's move the pin from A to B. So that's how we kind of balance each other. We just have different trades, but they complement.
And over the years, they've shifted.
Well, it's like we both have. Wait, hold on. You guys are not the exact same?
No.
Wait, what?
Can you imagine? It would never work.
I thought marriage, you had to be the exact same person.
It would never work.
No, but that's what's good is we actually complement each other now.
Yeah.
And over the years, we've seen our traits and our talents adjust and improve in different areas, and we've been able to recognize it. But for us, I grew up in a very entrepreneurial family.
Yes, as that's
you
right.
Know.
Yeah, right.
And so right out of high school and stuff, I went right into sales. I enjoyed sales.
Yeah.
That was probably the most
door-to-door.
No, not door-to-door. Oh. It was actually network marketing. But
I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah.
Network marketing is badass. And I believe network marketing.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's
but
really hard.
It is hard, but it is badass, right? Yeah. Like some of the biggest and best entrepreneurs of our day today came from network marketing.
You know what? It's so true.
And
one of the things for me though is at 18 and 19.
Yeah.
It taught me how to try and sell to adults that looked at me as a child still.
Yeah.
But then I had people, you know, obviously mentors and everything at the time that were like, hey, look, if you always look at yourself as a kid, they're always going to treat you like a kid.
Damn straight.
And so those things quickly at a younger age helped me build some confidence.
Mm.
But anyways, we jumped into all sorts of different businesses with my family.
Yeah.
And but eventually we ended up wanting to pursue our own things. Mm. And once we did that, it was, I would say, what?
I don't know.
How would you explain it?
I think it really let our wings fly.
Yeah.
As cheesy as that sounds. But I think we were kind of under the thumb of other people.
Mm.
And we weren't allowing ourselves to do and make what we want of ourselves. And We also wanted privacy. We wanted to do things our own way, you know. But you know what? If we didn't do what we did, we step back and do our own thing, I think it would have suppressed us from what we're doing now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you guys broke the golden rule of business. That's don't do friends with family and friends, right? Or don't do business with family and friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. That's some people's rule. Other people see it as a strength, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But you've been in that for a while.
Well, and that's the thing is there were times where we had partners. It's like our family had partnered with other partners.
Right, yeah.
And there would always be contention because as partners, something's you're not always going to be aligned.
Right.
But it's learning how to deal with the disagreements and direction you want to take the company. And so eventually when we ventured off just as our own, just with like my brother, brother-in-law and whatnot, we had to learn to work together and we had a lot of bumps. But it was a learning curve and we also grew a lot from it. It helped us gain the confidence to just go out on our own because when you work with the same people for so long, you start feeling almost, let's say, a dependency on, well, I'm so used to working with these people that have these roles. If I leave and venture out, I have what to fill I? Those roles or can I fill those myself?
Yeah.
And what we did is when we decided to leave working with our family, we filled in those gaps by taking courses and researching, learning.
Wait, YouTube. Wait, come on. Courses are a scam.
No, my gosh.
No, listen, I've had plenty of DMs from really smart people telling me that my courses are scams. Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
Not if it's the right course. No. A lot of smart people come out with great courses, and it's worth the money.
I am where I am because of courses.
There's a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about and come out with the course. So I think it comes down to you doing your homework on who you're trusting to educate you.
Right, absolutely. No question.
Yeah, and so that's what really helped us gain that confidence is taking courses, learning from people who had done it, and then just ventured into our own stuff. And that's really been the big kicker for us.
Well, let me just phrase this because I think if everyone's listening to this, they're like, okay, they've been entrepreneurs. No, you guys have actually been entrepreneurs like all over the world. Yeah. That's what's actually so fascinating to me that I actually want to pick your brain on a little bit here, right?
Yeah.
Is I feel very comfortable doing business in America, right?
Yeah.
Feel pretty good about understanding what the hell's happening here and all that
stuff. It's very easy here.
Yeah. And then the idea of, you know, going to Thailand or China or Japan, right?
Yep.
Or, you know, the Papua New Guinea, right? And I'm just naming off a couple places that I know you guys have traveled
Indonesia,
Africa.
Malaysia. Okay, do we keep going?
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You guys have traveled all over the world. Right. Traveled all over the world. You know, we could talk about Japan. We could talk about all these things. But you guys have not only traveled over the world, but done business all over the world.
Yep. Yeah.
So what the hell is that like?
So you take first crack at it.
Well, when we first traveled, we were working with a network marketing company. Right. And we positioned ourselves in a position where there was nothing for us to do here in the U.S. for the company. And so it was one day, like, we always had this dream of traveling before we had kids. And I was like, hey, Rye, like, what if we just, let's just ask. Let's just see if there's anything we could do international. And I think Ryan would probably say he was nervous. He didn't want to ask. She's always been the more
aggressor type of, like, I'm going to go get it. And I was always more timid, like, for the first half of our marriage.
Yeah. So we ended up asking, you know, the operations team and all that. And we said, hey, you know, is there anything international? And they're like, actually, yeah, there is. You guys can go and be speakers and do the product demonstrations and sales on stage. And so that transformed into us, you know, talking to people, doing live demos. So I did the live demo for skincare and their beauty side. Mm. Ryan did the financial side of the presentations. And it was awesome. But I will say the one thing we learned going to all these countries is that if you have never traveled outside the U.S., you have no freaking idea how lucky we are to live where we live.
Oh, my gosh.
Because there's so many countries that are still way behind.
Oh, yeah.
And so anytime we came back home, we were just like, damn, we are I love the car that we have, even though it's not nice. I love that we have clean water. Like, just those simple little things. So I think that really opened our eyes to, like, wow, we're so lucky.
Well, and it was really cool because when we ended up doing the international traveling, essentially they treated us as a team where they just sent us around the world. But right after they sent us out there, they tested it out and they're like, yeah, you're fine. And then the next day we spoke in front of 40 people. The next day it was 400. Next day it was 2000.
Now, are you guys a translator at that point?
Yeah. So they had translators everywhere we went.
Okay. So that's interesting. So you're presenting on stage to a bunch of people who don't speak English.
Oh, they're speaking Bahasa, you know, Indonesian. And you're sitting there like, Okay, yeah. So you would speak, and then it was hard because you would speak, then you'd have to pause, and then let the translator talk, and then you'd kind of be like, are you finished?
Yeah.
Also, anyways. Like, jokes don't translate.
Oh, my gosh. So, like, we learned every time.
That early on. Like, you don't tell jokes. Yeah. They don't never, nobody ever gets them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it was awkward. We would laugh, and the whole audience of 2,000-3,000 people would just be crickets.
Yeah. But, I mean, our stage fright, we definitely don't have stage fright.
Yeah.
I think the largest crowd we did was 8,000 in Africa.
Wow.
And it's like humid and hot, and everybody's like sweating on stage. Everyone's
got sweat.
Yeah, it's bad.
But was that indoor or outdoor?
It was indoor. Indoor.
They had one 6-foot AC unit at the back of the auditorium.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, break this down for me, because I'm actually very curious about this, right? How do you put on an event in Africa or Indonesia? Like, how do you even go about doing that? I mean, not like, what do you run a Facebook ad?
No.
Putting up a billboard like in the safari? Yeah.
No, you know what? So that's what was really eye opening to us, because when we would go there, they actually had it down pretty good.
Yeah.
Essentially, they had a full operations team that was all for the events.
Mm. And event planners.
Mm. Oh, because there was about 20 of us that would travel together.
Yeah.
But sometimes we would just travel alone. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we would show up and they would have the whole auditorium ready. They'd have the projectors all ready. Yeah. Everything
it's definitely
was
an operations
smooth,
team.
But they would spend, it was a lot of money. Every time we'd go on a trip, they'd spend a few hundred grand on just the few of us.
I think when we added up like how much travel we paid for it, it would, just for us two, it probably would have been like $750,000 of travel.
Yeah.
Between flights, hotels, food, transportation, all that.
Because it was about 2 years, we went to 33 countries.
Yeah.
And we would go to them repeatedly too. So it was just, we were living out of suitcases. Yeah. But what it did is it gave us, you know, confidence outside of the U.S. as well.
Yeah.
And that's what eventually led to us doing the internet business in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's still going, right?
Yeah. So that's still going. That's about
have a business that is internet in Papua New Guinea. And I'm saying that because it's still crazy that when I say that a lot, but I know about it. But for everybody listening, you guys currently own a internet business in Papua New Guinea.
Yep. Yeah. So it's an internet service provider for businesses. But it was a grind. We did things that most people wouldn't do. And that's
what I was talking about. Really hard. The way you were traveling, dude, I was like, damn, dude.
So when we started it, what we did is we went and raised a bunch of money. We raised about $1.5 million from the local people in Papua New Guinea. Mm. We did a local raising. And so my brother and my father and I, we traveled for 7 months just cycling who would go down and try and raise money. And we raised enough. We had a lot of issues with the business provider of the internet, internet provider. They had a lot of issues that they weren't transparent with us or with us. So eventually we had to then go and raise more money down the road. Got a great investor, really helped us then scale it and turn it into just a solid business.
Yeah.
But now a new provider's coming and we're going to be capitalizing on it. But they've been working on it for 2 years.
Yeah.
This company. Anyway, so it's a great solid business. Yeah. I would say it's a small business, but you know, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, here's what's funny. It's like that's what we're saying. We're talking about all these launches and all this shit like around the world. But then it's even like you just had your paintings listed in you just took a painting, right? And all of a sudden now your paintings are in like, you know, like, what do you call it? You don't call them stores, like, you know, like
furniture stores.
Yeah. All of a sudden. Yeah. Design stores. Like all of a sudden your shit's like getting sold like there. Right. And you just like took it up as a hobby. Right. And then you're doing the real estate stuff. I'm like, what the actual?
I know. That's why we don't tell people everything that we do, because it just kind of sounds like, what?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
But you know what? We've really explored things that we've wanted to try.
Yeah.
And we're very business minded. And so even though it may be a hobby, we then are like, oh, how is this something we could just turn into a source of income? Mm. Even on just like a small level of just like, oh, yeah, it's just additional income off of something I like. Yeah. It's not like, oh, I'm trying to make this my full-time thing. It's like, oh, if I can make additional income off it, that's instantly where our brain goes. Or like if we're talking with people, which I'm sure your brain's like this,
right,
they start telling you about what they're doing. You're instantly like, oh, you could try this. You could do this. You could, you know what I mean? But that's just where we go. Now that's all we talk about. is doing different business ventures. But
do you guys ever think you're gonna slow down one day, you know, kick back in the countryside and just ride off in the sunset? Or
that's what Aubrey wants to do one day.
Yeah. that's the question. Is like, it almost sounds miserable, you know, like to like not have something to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, and not just like, it's like, because there's something about business that's different than just like, oh, I'm making money, right? It's no, I have something to do that I love that pushes me, right? That takes me to another level that is in a new industry or whatever it is. And I think that's where, you know, entrepreneur minds really are misunderstood is you constantly are pushing for something because what else is there to do?
Yeah.
You know, like, like you can give me this lifestyle, but like that sounds boring to me.
Well, right? Now I look at back when we weren't doing all of these things. And I'm like, what did we do with our time?
What did we do with our time?
Like, what did we just watch shows? Yeah, we didn't even have kids. Now we got three kids. We homeschool them and everything. And it's like, how on earth?
Businesses, yeah.
Yeah.
It's balanced. But so then once we did the, once you guys did the, you know, internet company, after, what was it, 3 years, 4 years of doing that, we decided to take a step back. And we really wanted to give ourselves a chance to do our own thing.
Yeah.
And so then after that, you know, you got a job doing something for a really high-end company.
Yep.
We he started taking on graphic clients for design work and all of that. And then I got my real estate license because, well, I wanted to sell real estate. And I thought, it's a great flexible job I could do from home with the kids. But then that turned into, you know, every time I sold a house, we actually would buy an investment property. So then it was turned into like, hey, now we have a few investment properties. We're getting one in St. George. And so there's some things that we don't like to tell people because, you know, my real estate is a job. Yeah. But I also do it for pleasure and we do it for ourselves.
And also when we buy a house, we it's a great financial decision because you get to represent the house. And so it's like, you know, there's many benefits to it.
Yeah. So we both have our, you know, our focus. Real estate is a nice focus. I do paint, like you said.
Right.
That was more of a hobby that kind of turned into
another cash flowing
income stream, which is really nice.
What's next, strawberries?
Yeah. Hey, my
she
garden
has
bed.
Been gardening.
I know, that's what I said.
Don't hate on those garden beds, man. Yeah. So I mean, we but definitely have our hobbies, but we're definitely, you know, he has a solid marketing business, and then this new product that we're launching is gonna be our main focus.
Well, let's talk about that then. why don't we give the audience a little break and just let them know what the hell's happening here? Because, you know, listen, guys, all these businesses are really cool, right? But to me, this is probably the coolest one.
We agree with you 100%.
Okay, because listen, you know, like I you know, painting, that's beautiful, awesome, right? Internet, cool, you know, like internet, that's very important. But this.
Yeah.
This is dope. Yeah. Like when you guys told me about it, I was like, damn, that's cool.
I know. When we saw that you were sold, we're like, this is a good one.
Can I get one? So when the product pitches itself, you know, it's like you got something good there. And obviously with the, you know, with the way it's already getting built up and like the amount of, you know, interest you guys already have after what, just a couple months?
Yeah, 2 months.
You know, like you guys are probably gonna be on Shark Tank soon, right?
You know what? We have had so many people say that to us. Well, you guys should go on Shark Tank. Shark Tank.
Like this
is
a perfect product to go on Shark Tank.
Yeah. Actually,
so honestly,
is.
I think we'll probably try and get ourselves on that show when the time's right.
I know actually a couple people have been on Shark Tank. I'll ask them how that experience is. Yeah, all three of them got rejected though.
Oh shoot! Maybe we don't.
Maybe not listen to them. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about this then. Yeah. I don't want to say it. Why don't you guys, what is this product, this mysterious, badass product that has just been launched?
All right, so my family, grandparents, about 35 years ago, so before we were even walking this earth.
Wait, I thought you were 40.
Oh, I wish. No,
the gray hairs.
The gray hairs are coming through, man.
Oh, yeah.
No, no, but so about 35 years ago, my grandparents and also my parents were all messing around trying to create another way to cook.
Yeah.
And because this is a product that's made for outdoor adventures,
yeah,
for camping and whatnot.
Right.
Also for, it's a great product to have for emergency preparedness.
Mm.
And how it works is they...
What is it called?
Should we talk about it?
Yeah.
All right, it's called Rock Pot.
Rock Pot, baby!
Yeah. So what it is, it's a portable cooker.
Mm.
And how it works is we have a patented rock tablet, which essentially you heat over the fire.
Yeah.
And it retains the heat. You put it inside a 7-liter pot that we have that's patented. It's double-walled lining, meaning when you put it in, you put your cooking pot in, and you close it, it'll cook your food and keep it warm for 9 hours just from that tablet. And so you can literally carry your pot around as it's cooking and take it wherever you want to go. But essentially it's a 7-liter pot. So you can cook food for up to 6 people,
which is great for families.
Right.
Yeah. And because we have it double walled lining with stainless steel, as it's cooking in there, the food, it's cool to the touch. So you can literally, it's not like, oh, a Dutch oven where once it's cooking, you got to let that baby sit until it's done.
You don't even touch it. Right. You don't even move it until
it's done. I love Dutch oven cooking. Like,
so do we. Well, I mean, like, we have them.
Do you know how many things I have saved on my Pinterest? Yes, I have Pinterest. Every single one of you should have Pinterest, right? Is of all these cooking recipes of like, like how to make like chili in a Dutch oven, right? Yeah. Or what do you call it? Peach cobbler in a Dutch oven, right? Yeah. All these things say it. I'm like, I can't wait to make these.
Yeah, see, but instead of you having to sit there and maintain it over the fire for, and let's say it's an hour, it. 2 hours, stay with it. Because you have to maintain Dutch ovens as
you're
cooking.
You don't leave it alone and come
with
back.
Literally the rock tablet, you heat that puppy up on a fire, put it in the pot, and that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
And then just close the lid. It's so convenient. It's leak proof, all that. So even if it rolls down the hill, it's not going to spill a bit.
Yeah.
So
can it withstand a bear?
You know, let's go try
it. We should try that.
Throw it
in the woods. What was that one?
There's only one
ad.
Way to find out.
That's actually a good idea. We should do that. Because what was that one ad over the Yeti? Like, could a Yeti survive a bear, right? And it didn't.
Oh, I bet it would rip this apart.
Yeah, I probably.
I don't know. I mean, it's a food grade stainless steel. It's pretty.
Okay. Well, so that's what's so fucking cool about this is, like, correct me if I'm wrong. It's basically not a pressure cooker or a slow cooker, but portable. So you don't need to plug it in or have electricity.
Correct.
And like, that's like the biggest hack ever that every Relief Society mom or mom out there is cooking in there. Is that what it's called? The it's slow like cooker?
Yeah.
Right? Isn't
a
there
crock
another
pot?
Crock pot? That's it. Crock pot. Thank you. Where like, just like, you can cook damn near anything in those.
Yeah.
Right? And you just kind of let them sit overnight or let them sit and it just cooks it for you. Set the time. It's done. From my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, it pretty much is that, but you don't need to plug it in.
You don't need electricity and you don't need propane. So we like to say power free. However, people still consider a fire power.
Right.
So you don't need propane. You don't need electricity. All you need is a simple fire.
Yeah.
And you just put the rock tablet in the center of the fire. You let it heat for 30 minutes and then you just throw in your rock pot. And then, you know, rock pot, it's great for all types of slow cooker meals. We've done slow cooked ribs. We did a slow cooked pulled pork, a 6 pounds.
You haven't done any of these for me.
Hey man, whenever you're so busy, you just don't come over for dinner.
Yeah, no, I'm so busy for ribs.
But you know, it's really great. It's super universal. You could also do it for coffee, hot chocolates, liquids.
Yeah.
So it's so universal, and you know, we get asked, "Well, what's the difference between this and a Dutch oven, or this and you know, a jet boil or something else that you would use?" The thing is that it's portable. Like you don't have to sit there. You can take your slow cooked ribs while it's cooking with you, pack it in the back of the car, put it on your razor, bring it on your boat while it's cooking your food.
That's why a lot of hunters though and hunters too, because they can throw it in the back of their their razor and take it with them, and then when they're done, they got a nice pot of chili or they got beans, whatever they want.
Yeah,
but you can also boil water in it. So for dry food,
I was going to ask you,
like rice, pasta.
Does that cleanse water? So like, say you're near a river, like, you know, like typically you boil the water, you know, to clean the water, right?
Yep.
You know, obviously you don't want to lose the water, but.
Yeah, for water purification.
Yeah, but this would still act like that as water purification. Wow.
Yeah, so that's why this product is so good for emergencies, not just for camping outdoors where it gives you, because again, like we've talked about, you have either a grill, electric griddle, or you're going to have like a propane stovetop when you're camping.
Yeah.
But you can never do, how can you do a slow cook, you know, pot roast when you're camping? You can't do that.
Yeah.
Or what, are you going to sit it over a fire for that long or over a stovetop? Mm. So with this, you can now bring foods you've never been able to bring camping or on your adventures, but also the emergency preparedness side where you don't need anything but a fire to cook in it.
Huh.
It's super convenient.
That's cool. That's dope.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm a slut for emergency preparedness, though, right? I mean, you guys have been in the basement, right? You've seen that shit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just ordered the 260-gallon, you know, tanks for water, right? And they're cool because they stack on top of each other, right? And then I've got the guns and the ammo and a lot of it, right?
So that's why we'll be going right to your house.
Yes, if that's why we're coming to you.
If you. Well, if I have the rock pot, I don't need you.
No, but we need
you. We need
you
for everything.
Okay, gotcha. We can't do a whole lot with just our pistol.
I need the strawberries. like all the guns and stuff like that, right? But then, like, I have over 2 years of food, right? That I've got sitting there that, you know, I just love it. Like, like, I think everyone who loves America and loves, you know, like the country life loves the idea of like being self-reliant, right? Yeah. Which is why I'm actually like all for like solar. Yep. You know, so, something interesting is like a lot of these dudes, you know, like, oh, gasoline and all that stuff, you know, because you kind of get, you know, the same group of people who are like, no, gasoline's the way to go. I'm like, if you have a solar powered car, that's dope. Yeah. Right. Like if you have a solar powered home, that's dope. I don't need anything. I don't have to drill for oil. I have, like power forever. Right. Yep. And the thing that what's crazy about that. Oh, wait, can you heat this up like through like solar stuff or like electrically?
So there is. So no like, way well, so can? Like, so let's say, well, let's just use an electric stovetop, for example. Oh. It'll retain the heat from that. But then there's also solar products out there. Like they look like a little dish that people use to cook like pots on. You can heat it up on those types of products as well.
So the rock tablet, I mean, our marketing is that you just put it over a fire. However, it can be heated. The rock tablet can be heated multiple ways.
Yeah.
Over a stovetop. It cannot go in a microwave. Don't do it. Like, don't be dumb. Yeah. Don't put it in a microwave.
Did you test that?
Honestly, I'm not on my microwave.
We've been informed not to test it.
Well, let's just put that disclaimer. If you test it, do it at your own risk, but let me know how it goes.
It's not covered with a limited lifetime warranty, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, a fire, a solar cooker or a solar heating unit. It's like a solar dish.
Yeah.
And then we also have the stove top. Obviously, you can throw it over a propane gas, you know, but at that point, it's like, well,
Well, some people use it to prepare before they go out. It's so like, let's say they want their food cooking while they're out hunting for the day.
Yeah.
They can heat it up like at the cabin or at the house before.
Yeah.
And then they leave at 5-6 in the morning and they let their food cook all day, stay all nice. Yeah. And then it's ready when they're ready.
Is there any product out there like this right now?
No, and that's the thing is there's not.
That's
and I think that's dude, what that's makes so cool. it.
And we've got seven different.
There will be. They're going to be copycats.
Well, no,
we
can,
have seven aspects of it patented.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're. Can't recreate it's the
tablet. We have a
tablet.
Solid patent pending on it.
Yeah.
And in U.S. and international.
Shit, oh my.
Yeah.
So.
We paid the money for the international stuff because we know the second, thing. As everyone's seen it on Kickstarter and everything, it's they're going to want to copy it.
Okay, wait, so that's what's so fascinating is because, like, listen, like, you guys both know, in business, there's really kind of two types of business. It's improving what's already there or bringing in something completely new.
Filling the need.
Yes, filling the need. Or, like, you know, just, like, reintroducing a whole new market, right?
Yep.
And this isn't necessarily, this is actually a new market that you guys are essentially creating inside of a very old market, right? Yeah. That's what's kind of cool about this is this is one of the oldest markets there is, probably one of the most necessary markets there are, but... There's nothing like this right now.
No, exactly. And I think that's why we've been getting such great positive feedback from people is because it's like we mentioned a few minutes ago, it's always been those three traditional ways.
Yeah.
And however, I mean, cooking with stones goes back, I mean, hundreds of years.
Right. Well, yeah. The, like
so
the
that
method
isn't new, anything new.
Yeah.
But the way that we're able to take that method.
Yeah.
Put into something that's more modern and portable, that's what's new.
I mean, to me, I mean, maybe I'm ignorant, right? But, like, it's, like, basically a combination of Dutch oven, crock pot, and, maybe the other one, right? Dutch oven, a crock pot, basically, but then it's portable.
Yep.
Yes.
Right? That's what's, like, it's, like, because everyone loves Dutch oven. No one's going to, like, everyone loves Dutch oven. How long has Dutch oven been around?
Everyone loves slow cooker, too.
Yeah, everyone loves slow cooker. I mean, and now you can have both.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's cool.
Well, and we were talking earlier, too. So our rock tablet, you can heat that puppy over 2,000 times. So it's not like
it's reusable.
You're not like, oh, I got to get a new one after I've used it 20 times or it's I this thing is that, so reliable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unless you throw it off of a house and break
I mean,
it
if
on
you're
the cement.
Yeah. Okay. Trying to break it,
if you're
it
trying
will break.
To, but it's super, super reliable because also there's no technology in terms of like electronics in the product.
Yeah.
So it's literally the stone and you just throw it in the pot so that there's no reliant on, oh, what if something goes out? It's as long as you don't throw it off a cliff. Or you know
or
what
you
I mean?
Can drop it on cement like you're purposely trying to break your rock tablet.
Yeah, then it will last you.
Yeah, so it can be reheated over like 15 plus 100 times. I mean, it's like stupid how many times
you
could.
I really want to test this out with the bear.
Let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Well, the reason why the rock tablet is so reliable, though, is the composite that we use.
Yeah.
The tablet can be heated to over 1,000 degrees or more without any fluctuation of how it holds itself together.
Yeah. Right.
So it can withstand major heat. Mm. And also again, then it distributes that heat on a very slow curve.
Yeah.
So it's not like you put it in your pot and all of a sudden you have this spike, even though the stone, let's say you accidentally leave it in your fire for 45 minutes to an hour. And let's say the stone gets 800 degrees. It's not going to change the way it cooks in the pot.
Like what if you accidentally left it in there like overnight in the fire?
It's fine.
Because,
really? Yeah. Because what will happen is when you put it in the pot, the pot can withstand the heat.
Mm.
And also the temperature regulates itself because of the way the tablet distributes the heat from it.
Mm.
So it it hits a level of heat and it just maintains. Mm. It doesn't spike. Oh, it's going to get 500, 600 degrees in the pot. Mm. It hits at a nice level and it just curves down slowly over the plus hours.
And on top, there's a steam pour. So it will release pressure and steam from the pot and all that to cook it nice and evenly.
Because when the product, when we first started talking about it, the product actually came to be with my grandparents and my parents back in the day, 35 years ago, trying to create something like this.
Yeah.
But the problem was the material they had at the time, it was almost like a cooler looking cooler material.
And like that heavy duty plastic.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and but then in between that and the cooking pot, it was a foam insert and it would expand and explode. So like as things would heat up.
That's dope.
But like they had the concept of what they wanted. Yeah. But about a year ago we sat down and we're like, hey, how could we actually find a manufacturer that can make something that could withstand what we need? And so we searched and found manufacturer that could create what we needed and it worked. Yeah. And we tested the heck out of it though.
I mean, we had to, if we're going to bring it to market, like we had to do our, we had to be 100% sure that this thing can cook and it can.
And there were times where, you know, you make little mistakes and you learn something about the product.
Yeah.
One time we didn't put the cooking pot in on top and when we closed the lid
with the rock tablet, and
it just melted the
top,
the whole lid top, because there was no place for the heat to go besides the, there's no inner cooking pot inside of it. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is we tested it so much to find.
Okay,
what happens is you put the rock tablet in the pot, then you put your inner cooking pot on top and close the lid. But this time we were shooting our Kickstarter video and we were heating up stuff, making different foods, and someone made a mistake and closed the lid without a cooking pot in it with no food. And so the tablet just roasted the top lid and it melted. We're like,
good to
know.
When
you tell people, hey, don't you dare close the lid if there's no pot in it.
Yeah, never close the lid if your heated rock tablet is in there.
Anyways, cool. Without the so, but yeah, it's very reliable and it's definitely creating a new niche in that camping outdoor space that people haven't been able to do.
It's exciting.
Well, that is exciting because here's the thing is there's no question. There's no question that shit's about to hit the fan. I don't know if we want to get political, but fuck it. Let's talk about it, right? Because even if we're not talking about here in the United States, how many times is there a natural disaster somewhere in the world? Actually, let's talk about the United States. How many hurricanes are there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can already name a few, right? How many hurricanes are there? How many people lose their homes from earthquakes, right? Yeah. How many times is there an emergency, not just when we talk like apocalyptic, right? Because that's what we all dream of, the apocalypse, right? But there's actually something to be said about actually just being prepared for when shit hits the fan at a natural level, right? Yep. I mean, here in Utah, everyone's prepped for like crazy because, you know, they say we're due for a huge earthquake. Yep. Matter of fact, I've lived here my entire life, except for, you know, a few years not, right? And I've never felt an earthquake in Utah until the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, we've been waiting for this to happen. I'm like, shit. You know, like, and, you know, when that goes down, or hell, we're talking about, you know, what's happening with gas and what's happening with, you know, the prices of gas or just the electrical grid, right? Can it handle this overload of new electricity and electrical cars? Are we going to have outages? In California, they have outages how often?
Yeah.
Right? You know, there's outages all the time. So this alone would be dope, number one, just take camping, right?
Yeah.
Dope, you know, like it'd be cool to have like when you're hunting or just cool to have in general.
Yep. Yeah.
But the absolute necessity of having something like this when something inevitably happens is to me what's so cool about it, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, I'll just say it, right? I think shit's going to hit the fan here in America next 5 to 10 years, right?
Yeah.
I really do in a way that I don't think people understand. If you look at the way republics fall, if you look at what happens, you know, to countries, well, you know, there's been a lot of countries that were very well off and that are not well off anymore, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, things that start to go first are the infrastructure. The infrastructure that's been created because there aren't people there to supply it. When I'm talking infrastructure, I'm talking electrical grid. And, you know, like we're already seeing shit happen with gas and everything, right? And oil. So how do you prepare for that, right? And I'm sure we could talk a lot about different stuff. But number one, at least being able to cook some fucking food. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's some of the top comments that we've had in feedback is.
I mean, you guys have already had, can I say the number? Like over however tens of thousands of people already, know, showing interest and like wanting this product already. You guys just launched it, right?
Yep.
So all right, go ahead. The comments.
But the comments we've been getting are people that are like, oh, this would have been perfect when we had the tornadoes rip through our county. And then people. Legit.
Was it? Okay.
It's like people from Kansas, Arkansas, you know,
also
over there.
Texas, what was it, the big
The ice. That was crazy.
The icing in Texas. Yeah, everything iced. Yeah, so a lot of our comments and feedback has been, I wish I would have had this for our natural disasters, and I'm going to get one for when the next one hits.
Dude, you know what's actually cool is like when you're in like colder climates, right? In colder climates, having fires and stuff like that, like especially if like, say up in Minnesota, you like ice fishing. Having fires is not very, you know, plausible, right? Because you're out in the cold, right? This provides an option where you don't need that.
Yeah, and you can have your warm meal. Because a lot of times people, they have to bring a small little propane thing. They you have to elevate it above the ice. You got to have that heat regulating out. There's ways you have to work around it.
Yeah.
But with this, if you heat it up before you go, you can take it out there with the ice fishing. And again, you can put it right on the ice. It's not going to heat up the ice. So you don't have to do these workarounds. Yeah. So the cold climate, which we're excited because this winter we're going to do a bunch of different videos showcasing how you can use ice fishing, snowmobiling,
all sorts of different things.
And so it's definitely good for an emergency though, which you touched up on, because the one thing you don't want to do, and I think what a lot of people found from COVID and all that crap is when people started to panic, they went and took all the necessity things. And what you don't want to do is if something happens where one of the people commented on one of our posts, and like, we've had 20 power outages in the last 6 months.
California.
I was actually somewhere in the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
But they were like, this would be perfect for everyone in my neighborhood because no matter what, we struggle to then cook and prepare food. Right, but if we had something like this where all we got to do is start up a little fire and we're solid.
Yeah.
I mean, we even see this product, like we would love to supply the states when natural disasters happen.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like, obviously we want to give back to, you know, Papua New Guinea because we're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Also the villages there, they burn garbage to cook their food. And so we wanted to supply rock pots to them. One, because we're familiar with the country, with the internet business, but also we want to provide villages there to cook their food in something that's clean and you just heat up the rock tablet. But however, we do still want to give back to our own home country. And so that's one of our goals, is like, we have big plans to be giving back, especially for when natural disasters. So we gotta make those connections.
Yeah. Cause what we're doing right now is a portion of every sale we set aside to go towards giving back. And one of the main countries is Papua New Guinea right now,
right?
Because 80% don't have electricity. So they have, like Arby said, they're burning trash and that's where I've spent years worth of time there, and no matter where you go, it's all the same. It's horrible conditions. People have terrible means of cooking, and this can allow them a better way. And so we want to give back there, but as Arby mentioned, also in the US.
Okay, well, what's can we talk game plan? Like, what's the game plan? What's happening? Because I don't want to give away the details, right? But it's already kind of been pre-launched. People are starting to know about it, right? So then obviously things are coming. You know, you guys know the dates, whatever you're willing to share with me in the audience.
So Kickstarter, September 1st to the, to the last day of September.
Okay, what, so launch 30? Is happening September 1st, which we're going to get this out to you guys before then, by the way, so you guys can all order that shit with along with me. Use my affiliate code.
We could.
No, none of that shit.
No, but we, so it's all the whole month of September.
It's only going to be a 30-day Kickstarter run. So please support.
And then after that, we're just going to immediately launch it in the US. And then as we grow, we eventually want to take it to other markets, Australia, UK, you know, all over. But we want to focus on the States first and really get our handle on the messaging and the marketing of it. And then as we scale it, we then want to enter those other markets.
Dude, that's cool. Now, I mean, this might be a more business side question. Obviously, guys, you are considering, you know, like B2C. Have you guys considered like B2B, like with like Shields and, you know, I mean, I would assume so.
There's,
you know,
Cabela's, Sports Cabela's, Cabela's, yeah, RV World.
Yeah, Ryan's got actually a really great connection with the retail space. We're not, I don't feel like we're quite ready. We want to get Kickstarter launched and done with. But we have a great in with the retail space. So I think it's just all in.
And it'll depend on how those contracts line up. You know,
Naturally,
like if you want to get into Walmart, that's a beast because their buyback programs and stuff, you got to have a lot of capital. And so we would either have to be ready to take on that risk or, you know, we could take on smaller ones like Cabela's, Sportsman's Warehouse, people like that, that will carry it. And those customers are walking in those stores every day. So
that's, we're also going to be doing road shows too. We have a plan to do all the road shows, the prepper conventions, the boating, camping, the fishing, the hunting.
We got to change up the look here. I want you to grow your hair a little bit, and that beard, just get a little more fluff. And then we're ready.
I know. I'm like, I'm just going to wear a black shirt today. I should have worn my outdoor stuff.
You should have just thrown on that hat there, Sean. We're good to go.
No, but we're excited because, you know, we're going to pack up the motorhome and hit up the trailer with rock pots.
We got a lot of work to do. I mean, it's a lot of work. I think if you ever launch a...
Yeah.
Did you guys get a motorhome?
Our partners have a motorhome.
I was about to say,
like,
when did this
happen? No, trust me, we want one right now, but no. Our partners, they really want to kick it hard on the road shows. And so, you know, we'll just load up some trailers. And
it's a lot of work. I mean, anybody who's launched a business, you know, it's a lot of groundwork.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, you don't get any of the benefits till
now,
the end.
I've got a question for you.
Sure.
What were some, and this is totally kind of off topic what we're talking about. What have been some of your biggest challenges that you didn't foresee in your businesses? Like, as you were launching them, what were some roadblocks that you were like, I had no idea that was even going to be a thing?
That's a great question. Number one, I tell everybody this, trusting people. Don't trust people.
Okay.
That has been the number one thing in every business is don't trust anyone. And I've said this on many episodes, and I've said this many times because I've got that question a lot, is I've been way too trusting.
Really?
Right? And it has bit me in the ass every time. You know, business is business. Friends and family, you know, like, or, you know, and it's not a lot of time, you know, friends like working with me, right? You know, I'm at least grateful that I've learned the lesson to start having contracts signed because that just protects, right, relationships, right?
Yep.
But at the end of the day, you know, like, I can already hear someone, like, you know, disagreeing with this, you know, but when it comes to business, you know, when you give away the world, they expect the world, right? And I don't know, obviously, anything about your guys' business with, like, partners or anything, but trusting people, as in, don't trust people, you know, like prepare for the worst. And you guys are in the business of preparing for the worst, right?
Yeah.
Just in case, right? But that's my number one thing is like the truth is the business works if people work. I mean, like, honestly, at the end of the day, the business is going to work if people do their jobs, right? If people are going to go out and put in the effort, if you're going to travel around the place, right? The only thing that happens is when people don't do what they're supposed to do. Right. That's when shit hits the fan. That's when things go, you know, get in trouble because you're expecting someone to do something and then it doesn't get done. And now you're in a pickle. Damn. Right. So for me, that's it. You know, like when I look at business at the end of the day, like, you know, marketing strategies, this, they're all great. But at the end of the day, it's a game of people. You know, that's all it is. It's just a game of other people's money and other people and relationships. And you know, it's not the same world as it used to be. So
how do you balance all the crap you do? Because I mean, we try our best to balance what we do, but how do you balance all the different ventures?
I don't do the operations anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Doing the operations is a job, right? Yeah. So I do the operations of the one I care about, the one I want to make sure gets done, right?
Yeah.
But then in the other ones, I've delegated operations to, you know, hired a COO, right? You know, like a quarterback, right? And actually, Dan Fleischman taught me this principle. He in every one of his businesses, he hires a quarterback.
Okay.
Because if you create a system and you create, you know, a product and you have something that can cash flow, right? And everything's done, all you need is someone in there to run it. Because actually now it's really profitable. You just tell them what to do. And I've worked with a lot of people. I've actually had ownership in a lot of companies now, you know, like car detailing, right? Or supplements or whatever, you know, company. Yeah. I don't do anything. And I can't afford to do anything or else my other businesses will fail, right?
You've now put people in places.
Yeah.
So then it frees up your time to focus on your big.
Yes. Okay. And there's no chance I could be the operator for all because you guys both know this. Like there's a job and that's time consuming doing your job. Right. Oh, and then there's being the owner of a company and the job you take on for that. And that alone is more work than a job. Now take on 7 of them.
Yeah.
Right. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's physically impossible to be able to balance that mentally because my brain still feels like I'm just not even there.
I think
like a zombie.
At times it feels paralyzing.
Yeah.
Like when Ryan and I will look at each other some days, I'm like, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't even do a single thing.
Yes.
Because I feel so paralyzed with how many things we have going on.
Yeah.
And so I do like we were just talking about the other day is like, really trying to focus on, okay, what are we trying to focus on? We have our hobbies.
Yeah.
They're like nice little income streams, but that's not really our focus.
Right.
So with a rock pot, that's our big focus of like, this is what we're going to focus on growing.
Yeah.
We want this to be a multi-million dollar business.
Yeah.
And we also want people to benefit from this product.
Right.
So this comes down to.
You made a good decision with the rock pot. The thing that Aubrey and I have done in the past is we've tried to take too much on ourselves.
Yeah.
And this time she's like, no, we need to invest into some people. So now we have some people that are doing things that, and now we're realizing how nice it is not even thinking about, oh, creating the ad campaigns or like managing all the ad campaigns and all the creative. It's like so convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got to give Aubrey so much credit is she helps put us in a better position to get more done by willing to invest into places where I've been more hesitant.
Oh yeah. And I mean, here's things like when I say trust people, that means you still have to have people, right? Like that's things like you're both extremely talented, right? Extremely talented in figuring things out, being resourceful, you know, being creative, just figuring shit out, just getting it done. Right.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there's no chance, right? Like a multi-million dollar enterprise could ever be built without a large team, right? Like, like this podcast room, you know, you guys come in like this looks dope. I'm like, I didn't do it.
We thought you designed
No, it's Joshy boy right there. I would not have been able to put like this production that we have for this podcast is growing so much because Josh and Colby are extremely talented at what they do. And I trust them to do that. And they do amazing at it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, or like Jacob just comes up with some code shit out of nowhere. Right. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to do that, you know, but once you start hiring people in the companies, you start catching so much momentum. And if you want to keep, like, here's something that I learned pretty soon is like, there's businesses I want to keep, but I'm not going to keep any of the money. I'd rather keep the business. So I literally will stick an operator in that business and say, you take all the money for right now. And I write up a deal like, eventually I'm going to come back in and start taking money when there's enough profit. Right now, here's the entire system. Here's a perfect machine that I'll tell you exactly what to do. Just do this, 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 and put in the effort, and you get to keep all the money. Huge incentive for them. They get to make a ton of money or run a business, even create incentives, you know, and like, you know, them having potential ownership one day.
Yeah.
But now they're running the company, making a lot of money. You don't have to, you're not taking any money per se. Maybe you're taking a very, very small percentage, but you're focusing on your biggest cash flowing machine. That's paying you all the money. And then you got these things growing on the side.
You know? And that's, so like with Aubrey and I, we've now decided we've narrowed it down to two things each. We're each focused on two things, and the other things are just hobbies.
Right,
You know, if we have time and we're feeling relaxed, we want to put some time and effort towards it.
Yeah,
great. But now it's like we've gotten to that point where we're just we have to hyper focus on it. Otherwise, we are not. We weren't being productive enough.
Yeah.
But now that we're in that flow, but also we're in a flow of how we manage our days because again, we're both self-employed.
Yeah.
We homeschool our kids. But so I work from one time to another. She works from that time on.
Yeah.
And then we rotate with the kids. Mm-hmm. And so, but we've gotten in a really good flow.
But I think that's important to us because we don't want our kids with anybody else besides us.
Right.
So we do or we structure our days that way because it's important to both of us that we are present for our kids at all times.
Yeah.
And we don't want them with a nanny. We don't want them with grandparents all the time. Yeah. Every now and then, grandparents parents are great.
But you don't you want to raise your children.
But exactly. Yeah. And so we want to be present, but we also want to be able to build these businesses.
Yeah.
And we want them to be successful and we want to be present and
Man, that's also us taking on the homeschooling aspect.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother realm.
That is a whole nother
realm. That's like because of our personal opinions of what our children are taught, how long they're in the schools, a lot of unnecessary things.
Yeah.
And but it puts that extra amount of emotional effort every day being, I mean, as you and kids have some kids, you're going to see the amount of emotional drain that you get from it.
Yeah. Well, but we have two dogs. It's the same
thing. Totally. Okay. Sergeant Chevy are pretty cool.
Yes.
But yeah. So anyways, it's been a learning curve, but over time we've really gotten into a good flow. And now I feel like we're the most focused we've been, but we're also taking on the most we've taken on. Cause it's a lot starting a business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's definitely,
it's adventure. Exciting.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah.
We love the aspect of it. It's definitely tiring, though.
Oh, no question. No question.
That's why these gray hairs are coming in now at record speed.
Yeah, no, it's the most time-consuming thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else on this planet that could be more time-consuming than running and operating, and I'll say organization, because, yeah, there are businesses, but there's just organizations, right? You want to you see the proof of that. Look at the aging of each president, right? And it's a big organization that they're, you know, running and managing, right? But just anything that you take ownership of, you know, at a large level will drain you. And that's why most people can't do it, right? So that's why it's so impressive that you guys have done it over and over and over again, right? And you're constantly, you know, developing and growing. And I'm excited.
Oh, we appreciate that.
I'm excited to be like, that's my brother and sister-in-law. Yeah, Rock Pop? Yeah.
No,
you'll see our billboards. We'll have billboards. We've got a lot coming.
Honestly, what we envision for Rockpot is becoming a essential preparedness and camping item.
Right.
Something that when you say Dutch oven, we want to eventually say, oh, did you bring your Rockpot?
Yeah.
Or are you bringing your Rockpot with you? Right. So that's exactly what we want it to be.
Yeah,
Crock-Pot. We want that brand.
Yeah, hey, I just got that.
Maybe Crockpot will buy us out even down the road for a portable outdoor camping product.
No.
Yeah, but cool. We're excited.
Well, awesome, guys. Well, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys taking the time to come on the bullpen. This was cool.
No, we appreciate you having us on.
Of course, yeah. Well, listen, you guys got this thing launching. Well, if people want to get a hold of you guys, or if they want to learn more about this, we're going to drop this before everything comes out. But what's the best way they can reach you guys, or you know, learn more about Crock-Pot?
Yeah, they can go to the. Oh my! they could go to Crock-Pot. USA.com. That's our website. And then on there, we'll have a link to the Kickstarter campaign for them to go and purchase and support.
And honestly, it's the only time we're going to be running it at a
discount.
This
is the lowest time you'll ever see the price.
Yeah, the Kickstarter price.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's what I'm buying.
After that,
no discounts.
After that, no discounts.
Yeah, there's no discounts.
Well, send me the link as soon as that goes live. I'm buying a couple of them.
Perfect. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Cool, yeah. Well, appreciate you guys coming on. Guys, September 1st, this shit's going live. I'm calling it right here, and I know other people have said it, but I'm going to be the first one to say it live. We're probably going to see this on Shark Tank, so watch it here first, September 1st. This shit's going live, and if you listen to this and you like outdoors preparedness or camping, and number one, get your camo hat, right? Number two, this thing's going to be pretty dope. I think we can agree on that. So I'm fucking excited. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks Jeremiah.